Hello and welcome. This is Organic Phrases Podcast. Today, we have part one of a special two-part episode. We're going to be doing a couple episodes on beer. Now, it's not actually on beer. It's about two of the ingredients in beer, hops and barley. But, you know, it's about beer. So if you're underage, well, that's perfectly fine because there's no age limit on growing plants, so you can hang out. So in this first episode, we're going to be talking about hops. So here's the deal with hops. For those of you who aren't big beer drinkers, hops are what gives the beer bitterness. And it also adds some fruity flavors and floral flavors. It really imparts a floral, fruity aroma to the beer. And if you're not a huge beer drinker, that's also perfectly fine. There's medicinal properties to hops. The main benefit that I found on the literature that I was reading was that it has stress relief and sleep correction properties. There's some debate on the exact compound in the plant that does it, or the effectiveness of the stress relief, and even which part of the plant causes it. But that was the most common effect that I found. It hasn't been used medicinally for very long, only since about the 1800s, I think, is when they've been studying it. But they've been using it in beer production and as an antimicrobial since about 1000 CE. But yeah, so that's what I found on the medicinal properties of it. The scientific name for it is Humulus lupulus, which means little wolf. Now, there's so many varieties of the hops plant, and they do different things like impart a different flavor, citrusy, floral, fruity, in addition to the bitterness, or they do different levels of bitterness, or they mature later or earlier in the season, or they grow taller, they grow shorter. There's so many different varieties, so it's not really realistic for me to just list off a bunch of varieties for you. So I'm not going to do that. Now, hops are a vine-like plant, but it's referred to as a bine, B-I-N-E, not a vine, because it doesn't send out tendrils like a normal viney plant does, like, say, peas or something. It doesn't send out tendrils. It just wraps itself around whatever it's climbing. In most large-scale production, or even hobby farms, they use a string off of a cable, and that's what it's climbing. And it'll climb that in the northern hemisphere. It'll climb it clockwise. It'll wrap around it in a clockwise motion. But in the southern hemisphere, it'll do it counterclockwise, which I think is pretty awesome. It's kind of like how if you say you're in Australia, the toilet flushes the opposite direction as the northern hemisphere in the US or something. Or so I've heard. I don't know if it's all that true. But, you know, that's what I've heard. Most farmers set up their production area in an open area without any buildings or trees to shade out their hops plants. Hops need a lot of sunlight because they're really fast growing. And so they'll make these tall trellises from cable and tall poles. I've seen old telephone poles be one of the things that people use, and then steel cable across the top of those. And so imagine like 20, 30 foot tall telephone pole with just a steel cable going between them at the very tippy top. And then from that, you take a string and go from the steel cable to the bottom at an angle and anchor it at the bottom of the plant that you want to climb it. And then you can train it to climb like that. And hops plants like to climb. Some can max out at about growing a foot a day, which is ridiculous. That's so fast. And now that's an optimal condition, but yeah, they do grow very fast. So now if you want your plant to grow really quickly, hops plants usually favor the soil being slightly acidic, which is interesting. What I was seeing was anywhere from 5.5 pH to 7 pH, so a little bit more on the acidic side. They also favor well-drained sandy loam soil, just fairly common for a plant to want sandy loam soil, but it needs to be well drained. However, it's recommended that you do a drip irrigation system, so laying a hose that slowly releases water into the root area of the plant. It doesn't want super high water flow, doesn't like wet feet, it'll rot the roots, but it does need a fairly moist soil when it's pretty young, even when it's older, but especially when it's young. So hops plants are actually grown from rhizome cuttings like potatoes are. You know how you take your potato and you chop it into like four pieces or something, or into like two halves, and you'll see the little eyelets putting out sprouts. Well, hops are kind of the same way. The reason for this is because the hops producers, the farmers, only want female plants because that's the part that you use for the brewing process. You know, you harvest the female flower. So you only want female plants that are known producers that do really well. And so you're taking this rhizome cutting. Also, if you don't know what a rhizome cutting is, I explained it in my previous episode. Check it out. You'll learn some stuff. Anyways, so you want that rhizome cutting to be from a good producing female plant. So it's asexual reproduction, and you're only going to get like clones of that plant that you're planting the rhizome from. If the farmer did plant by seed, it would give male and female plants, and then the flower would be pollinated, be really seedy, and wouldn't be good for much of anything. You only want that unpollinated female flower. Now, while hops plants are very fast growing, as I mentioned before, they don't reach their peak production until the third or fourth season. The first couple of seasons, the plant is dedicating a lot of its nutrition and resources into building up its roots and getting that solid foundation. And so it doesn't get that peak production of flowers until the third or fourth season. Because it grows so quickly, it requires a good bit of nitrogen. And in the earlier years, since it's putting less greenery out, that's less than in the later years when it is putting out more greenery and producing more flowers and whatnot. In its adult stage, it can be as much as 150 pounds per acre. So that's a good amount. One thing that can cut your nitrogen costs down a bit is letting it rest every few years. This is just an idea that I had. I didn't find a source saying to do this per se, but maybe sow legumes like clover to facilitate nitrogen-fixing bacteria every few years and letting the field rest. I'm not sure if it would be worth it, but it's an idea, and I figured I'd share it. A little side note for people who don't know what nitrogen-fixing bacteria are. One of the essential nutrients for plants is nitrogen. It's largely attributed to the production of greenery, and is found in several fertilizers, commercial fertilizers, and soil amendments in a large way. What nitrogen-fixing bacteria do is they take the nitrogen out of the air and put it into the soil or into the roots of a plant in a way that the plant can use. But in order to do this, it needs a place to live. There's some plants that let the nitrogen-fixing bacteria live in its roots. Most notably legumes like clover, beans, peas, and soybeans. They help facilitate these colonies of bacteria within the root hairs. Now, if you dig up one of these plants, sometimes you'll see these little pink nodules on the roots, and that's the bacteria colonies living there, happily, helping the plant, giving it nitrogen for a safe place to live. Funny story, one time I did dig up a plant and I was looking for those bacterial colonies to just, you know, get the experience and see what they look like. And I found what I thought was one, but it was kind of whitish. And it ended up being an egg sac for an insect or arachnid. And it hatched like while I was holding it. It was just like little bugs everywhere. It was so gross. But that's just a little tidbit for you. So back on topic. So, you know, you've waited for your plants to grow, which didn't take long because they grew so quickly. And now you're ready to harvest your wonderful hops. So the part that you want to harvest is the flowers. Some people call them cones. The proper name, I believe, is strobile, strobile. Not really sure how you pronounce it, but that's how you spell it. When they're ready to harvest, they'll be papery and kind of dry, but still sticky to the touch. And if they spring back when you kind of press them between your fingers, then you know they're ready. And aromatic. You want them to be aromatic. If they smell rancid, then you've missed your window. But an aromatic, springy strobel is good. If it doesn't spring back, or if it's wet, then give it some time. It's not quite there. So when you do harvest, some people, when in the later years after they're in full production, will just cut the string at the top and harvest the hops off the ground and then just prune it right then. But in the earlier years, you want to hand pick them, and then you cut the you want to prune the plant back after it dies back. You can prune earlier when it's, you know, more mature, but you kind of got to wait for it to die back in those early couple years. Once you've cut down the binds, you want to then remove them to help avoid diseases on the plant. It's prone to downy mildew, and removing the debris after pruning kind of helps mitigate those diseases, keep them at bay. And the pruning process also helps promote growth the next year. And so at this point, you are now the proud possessor of some beautiful homegrown hops, which you can use while they're fresh, or you can dry them and then use them in the future for months, possibly a year or so to use then. You can do that by using a food dehydrator, but you want to keep it in a cool, dry place that is dark. You don't want it to be in the light, and you want an airtight container to house those in. And then you can use them whenever you want. Brew some beer, get sleepy, do whatever you want with them. All right, guys, that's about it. You now know the basics of growing hops. And there's obviously more to learn. There's specifics with each different variety, and different people use different methods. And it's always good to explore those methods before you go out and start your own thing. But you know some basics. You have somewhere to start now. I want to give special thanks to a few places for helping me learn about this beautiful plant. Special thanks to Purdue University, Iowa State University Extension, Michigan State University Extension, the Home Brewers Association, the YouTube channel Grow Organic Peaceful Valley, watched a video from them about hops, the American Botanical Council, and the Encyclopedia Britannica. Also, sorry for any weird sound variations in this podcast. The side of the house that my room is on is being painted today, and that has added a little bit of an extra challenge to recording the podcast. I kind of had to work around the clanking of the ladder and the dog barking, but thank you for your patience and your loyal listeningness, and I'll see you guys next week. I'm going to go grab a beer, and if you're of age, you should too. And if you don't like to drink or you're not of age, well, you can use hops to go take a nap. I'll see you next week, guys. Bye-bye.